the faith of the Bible believer. They said, now you know the chapter and verse markings were not in the original manuscripts and so forth. And I asked that person a very simple question, and they've still not come up with the right answer, and here's the answer. When did you see the original manuscripts and know there was no chapter and verse markings in them? Now, here's the problem with that. There weren't any chapter and verse markings around the 11th or 12th century. But God said, I'll preserve this word, this one, from that generation of David, all the way throughout. And if he didn't add the chapter and verse markings then, I'm sure he had a hand in it. And the reason I know that is because 16 in the Bible is the number of love. And as soon as I said 16 in the Bible is the number of love, the Holy Ghost said John 3:16 in your head. For God so loved the world. But listen to this. If that's true, there'll be something about love in every 16 in the book of Galatians. Just for instance, Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to look a lot at the book of Galatians today, so you just buckle in and we're going to get all of them. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. Here's love. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What's God trying to do here? He's trying to get Paul to be part of to get in on Christ and be part of the person of Christ, because the person is Christ is who God wants to reveal in you. God doesn't want you to be a good Christian. Those are a dime a dozen. God wants you to be Christ. The only way we can get that to happen, he's going to tell you how to do it in chapter 2, verse 20, and that's to get you to die of the flesh. If you die of the flesh, he'll see Christ in you and so will others. That term Christian is a term to describe somebody who's like Christ. And I notice this, listen to this, chapter 2, verse 16. We see the person of Christ in chapter 1, verse 16. That's love. Then chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I heard this old preacher one time preaching, and I couldn't tell what he was talking about, and then I got then it dawned on me what he was saying. He kept saying the flesh. So when somebody says the flesh, I grew up reading comic books. That's that guy that's got the little lightning bolt on his chest, and he's running around the earth like that. He kept saying that flesh is a problem. I kept thinking it is. That thing's done went up to 75 cents an issue now. I don't know what they cost now, but I heard they're as high as a pack of cigarettes. That's why I quit them too. Say amen right there. But I see love in chapter 2, verse 16, because it's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's who loved me and gave himself for me. Chapter 3, verse 16, we got the person of Christ. We got the plan of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's the preparation of Christ. God brought forth love through his son, Jesus Christ, and he brought him forth that he might be, what did he say in there? He said, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. God had one son. No matter what the Muslims believe, God had one son. They don't believe Allah had a son, so they're not talking about the same God you and I are. Chapter 4, verse 16, we see the preaching of Jesus. He says this, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? These people will fall out with you, you tell them something's right. And listen, I know we can do things in a bad spirit, but listen, we're looking more couth than truth now anyway. The only reason Rush Limbaugh don't have the liberals following him, they don't like how he says things. But notice chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to this, we got the power of Jesus. He says here, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you want to see somebody or see somebody living a Christian life, they're doing it through the Spirit's power, not by taming their flesh. Your flesh will get tamed for a while. It'll even buy into religion until it costs it something. Chapter 6, verse 16, we got over here, he says this. Chapter 6, verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We see here the peace, the peace of Jesus Christ on the believer here. And listen, he brings up the Israel of God. I bet if we look for peace and that Israel, we'll wind up in Psalm 122 and ask God to bring peace to Jerusalem over there in our daily prayer life. If you look in chapter 5, this is where we're headed to. We're going to go all through the book of Galatians looking at stuff today because we want to answer a question over here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. He says, you did run well. There was a time you did run well, past tense. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who did it? I'm preaching to you today on a question. We're going to answer that question. Are you hindered? Are you hindered? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we love you. We pray, God, today while we're in the house of God. Lord, you'll touch us from on high. Help me to preach by your power. Help others to listen by your power. And help us to apply it to our lives according to the person of the Holy Spirit of God, that we may draw closer to Jesus Christ during this time. Father, I pray, God, if there's anybody here that's been hindered, Lord, I pray, God, you'll jerk back the sheets and show them where the devil is so they can kick him out. And Lord, we love you. We pray, God, that you'll help us today to submit ourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil he may flee from us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To hinder is to be delayed or to be held back. And to be delayed or held back in this context is somebody that at one time was on top of the game. They were at one time the best one on the team. They were one time they were a team player. And at one time things were going well. But somebody come along and hindered them. They delayed them. The devil is not interested in how good a Christian you are. He wants you to be the best one. As long as you're delayed in your obedience to God, he'll hinder you. Secondly, when he holds you back, he don't mind you giving out tracts as long as you don't put them out when God says to. He don't mind you telling me I got my own visitation program. He don't mind you saying that all as long as you don't go do it. I noticed that number one, if we were to answer the question, are you hindered? Number one, could it be that you got discouraged along the way? In chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see that? We shall reap if we faint not. I look over at Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me at all. Has there come a place in your life where you got discouraged? I hear people all the time make erroneous statements that are religious statements, but not Bible statements. And when you don't live up to the religious statements, if you don't know it's not in the Bible, you will be discouraged, and that is a promise. I've heard people say that, well, if we go look in the book of Acts, we've got over there, we've got Pentecost, and they've got a group meets together in Acts chapter 1. And in Pentecost, the man of God stands up and preach. Thousands get saved. Acts chapter 3, we got more in there. And in chapter 4, they get saved. And chapter 5, they get saved. And you look around at your crowd and you say, my God, I'm not right with God. Two good signs I hear all the time. That God's hand is on a church. Are you ready for this one? Number one, is the church growing and God's in it? Number two, that affirms the call of God if God is in it. I got news for him. Jesus ran off 6,000 men and their families in one message. You know when they left? After homecoming dinner. You don't know how to get a crowd? Go follow Ringling Brothers around. I went and saw the circus one time. They get a crowd. They don't even have the bearded lady no more. She's in the stands. Are you discouraged? Could it be that you got discouraged because somebody came along bragging to you about something that wasn't even biblical or right, and you got discouraged about it? Are you hindered? Are you delayed? Are you held back? Have you stopped what you're doing for the Lord? Look at this thing. Could it be number two? Could it be that you desired self-glory? You did something to get the glory for it, and then you didn't get it. Look over at Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. See, a lot of people don't mind doing things as long as you pat them on the back, put their name in the bulletin, they did it, and put the dollar amount beside it, put a little plaque on it over on the window or the wall or wherever, the pew or whatever they put on. I'll tell you something. The best thing churches can do right now is get right with God and take your name off everything on it. And I don't mean the sign out front. I mean in little placards. They're about this big. And listen, just take your screwdriver. And listen, you can do it one of two ways. Okay, I do it. You can either go up there at Lowe's or get you a power drill, charge that thing up and go through it speedily. Or you can do it as a labor of love and take a good old-fashioned number 5 Phillips screwdriver and stick that thing down in there. And with every turn, you're giving it back to God. And all these churches say, well, now, Brother Little, you don't have that problem down where you're at. No, but I did. And I took a screwdriver and I took out over 22 of them out of this little building. And you know what I felt? I felt the oppression leave. I paid him to do that, by the way. Well, I'll hear what I got in store for you when I come up and mention hell in a minute. Amen. He's going to sing Dwight Yoakam. That's what we're going to hear. Amen and amen, because you know that stuff's full of the devil. Amen. Listen, what we find out is when you start taking all that down, you say, Lord, this ain't my window, Lord. This is your window. This is your house. How would you feel today if somebody come in your house and they said, you know what, we think your windows look kind of decrepit there. We're going to buy you some new windows. And they start putting windows in your house. But there's a catch. I'm going to put my name on it. So every day you walk around your house, and at first you're going to be thankful. Then after a while you're going to see through it and say, they wouldn't have done that if they would have put their name on it. Amen. This is where I get real sweet and real nice. Listen to this. You stay there in Galatians. I'm going to read you something. You figure this thing out. Okay, you ready? The Bible says, this is Jesus preaching in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what the Bible says. I look in the scripture and I see this. I see people that come along, they do things for self-glory, and when they don't get it, they blow up like a bullfrog and sit there with their arms crossed and... I'll tell you something. If you want to have reward of the thing, don't look for it down here. Them pats on the back will turn to stabs in the back if you ain't careful. But hey, here's the good thing. Whatever you do for God, and you do it, and you keep your alms to yourself and don't let nobody know, God in heaven will make sure that the day you die is not a sad day in heaven, because you'll see all that again, because you've done that for Jesus. Yeah. Listen to this one. Could it be, number 3, that someone troubled you? Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Is that what the Bible says? Whoever, listen, hey, is it somebody troubling you? Do they dominate your thoughts? Do they occupy your time? Listen, the Bible says, he said, through the Lord. Listen, God's going to take care of that. There comes a time and place in this life where you have to realize, and this will help you if you listen to me. Married people, listen to me. If you will realize your best friends who you're married to, and get rid of the buddies, and the friends, and get rid of that crowd, you will find out that God will help you, and he'll do things. But let me point something out to you. If you're married, and you got buddies that take you out to the karaoke bar on Friday, You better go see your lawyer now. Ma'am, if your husband's hanging out at the bar, you better go see your lawyer now and get advice on what to do, because there's fixing to be some bad things coming in your life. I found out this, and this is the most shocking thing in the world. Everybody wants to blame the internet. Everybody wants to blame the Facebook. Everybody wants to blame the chat room. But might I remind you, David committed adultery without a television. Might I remind you today that Jezebel was wicked and she didn't have a Facebook and a Twitter and all that? Might I remind you in the Bible now, all that happened before electricity happened. And God's still right about it, no matter what means or medium somebody may use. It's the wicked heart of the sinner that beats in his chest, and it could be a lost sinner or a saved sinner. But Jeremiah chapter 17, God says that thing is wicked. And it don't matter what you use with it, it's going to be wicked. All these gun control people. Do you know every time somebody goes on these little mass shootings, they have to break more gun laws than they've been written to be able to do that? And 99.9% of the time, there are warning signs well ahead of time that that's going to happen. But then there's this strange thing. Oh, if we just had more gun laws, it would fix this. I got news for you. Before there's ever a bullet invented, before there's ever a firecracker invented, before there's ever a cannon fired, before there was ever a knife stuck in somebody's throat and cut their throat, Cain picked up a rock and knocked Abel over the head and killed him. It's the heart. Hey, when somebody's troubling you, there's only one recourse for it. Look at verse 12. Paul says this here, by the inspiration of God, God's word to the Galatians has been troubled by somebody. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Didn't say they would be. He said, I would. He said, I'd like to see it happen. But then verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. All that biting and tearing and all that against somebody that troubles you, you're going to find that before long you're chewing on your own fingers. And one thing that you've got to be very particular of, very careful of, is that if somebody's troubling you, that you don't take it out on you and end up devouring yourself or devour others around you. Somebody say amen. We want to be right with God. There's only one way to do that, and that's to be right with God. But I see here a problem that keeps happening over here. And the problem is folks are not standing fast in the liberty wherewith they are called. Instead, they got somebody troubling them. We said, listen, we'd like to see them cut off too, but, you know, but here's the bottom line. If you bite and devour one another, you got cannibals amongst the house of God wanting to chew on other people. Here's another good one for you. Look over at Galatians chapter 1. Are you hindered today? Are you hindered? Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice this thing here. Paul didn't say, I read in the commentary, and that it made me aware of all things in the gospel and taught me that thing. He said, oh, Jesus Christ taught it to me. You know why some folks can't be a soul winner? They're not saved themselves, and they don't know how to give out the plan of salvation because they've never been taught that plan of salvation by the Lord. But I notice this. Paul says this. By the way, let me give you a statement you can go out and share on your little Twitter account today. You ready for this? Commentary makes you have dysentery. Anyway, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. See that? Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And the commentary will say, that's where Paul spent 3 years alone in the desert. And he was there and God taught him the thing. That makes for good preacher talk and good Christian talk and religious claptrap. But I have been taught to read the Bible in context and never, even if Dr. Smellfungus does it and you disagree with him publicly, you never take the Bible out of context. Paul went to Arabia and turned again to Damascus. See that? Is that what just happened? Listen to this. He is on his way to Damascus. He gets saved. Ananias comes over there. And then it says this. Then, verse 18, then, circle that word then in your Bible. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So according to the commentary, Paul gets saved and goes wanders out in Arabia for 3 years. According to the Bible, Paul gets saved, goes to Arabia, comes back and spends 3 years with a guy named Pastor Ananias that took him in there. You tell me who's right. Real simple. Hey, it sounds spiritual that Paul went off in the desert for 3 years. And you'll find out there's a lot of people would buy into that and go stay somewhere 3 years away from their pastor. But God never intended somebody to run off to Bob Jones University, ambassador, Southeastern Seminary, ends in places until they got grounded and settled in the house of God. I know you all for Christian college, and that's all fine and good, but I'm going to tell you something. Until a man is called to preach, stays under his pastor about 3 years, you will destroy his faith when you send him off to college at a young age. You say, I don't believe it. Look around you. Look around. Tell me how well that New American Standard Version is working out for these people that's now allowing sodomites in the pulpit and marrying them in front of the platform. Tell me how that's working out for them. Listen to me very carefully. You call them what you want to, that's a bunch of perverts, they're not normal, and you say, how do you know? If a man says he does not like women, but finds a man that dresses up like a woman, that is a pervert, and you tell him I said so. Listen to this, that stuff is perverted, God's been against it the whole time, and Genesis 19, he did not destroy Sodom for the people that was committing those sins, he destroyed Sodom because the rest of the crowd said it was okay for him to be like that. You need to read the book of Ezekiel along with Genesis 19 and see how Scripture tells that thing out there like that. Yeah. You compare Scripture with Scripture. So it's not New Testament. Romans chapter 1, it tells how they became that way. They digressed. Evolution's fake. It's a fairy tale. Listen, we ain't in evolution, we're disintegrating. And when you get to fooling with pornography, you disintegrate. And before long, you lose the natural lust of woman and all that stuff. You start lusting your flesh after it. And then after that, that don't fulfill you and you got to turn over to the other side. And then before long, that don't fulfill you and you go to children. Ask any convict. Ask them. Ask your psychiatrist. They'll say it's not normal. Look at this. Could it be because of the... Are you hindered because of the preacher's stand? When I get up here and preach on them... Does that boil your blood? Does that make you mad? I hope it does. And I hope you realize that I'm here trying to tell you this for one reason. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 16. So, you make me angry when you say stuff like that. Good! That means you'll get in the Bible and find out whether I'm telling you right! Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. See, I was the best things in sunshine last week. You gave me, listen, you gave me a hug and said, boy, we love you. Then I preach on this, you think, I'm going out the other door today. Is that right? You know, I'm going to start locking that door for long. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm going to put some men up here where you can't say, excuse me, you can't go out that way no more. That's over with. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Hey, look, what's Paul saying about this? He said in verse 15, you plucked out your eyes for me last week, and all of a sudden you're mad. Hey, listen, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help your children. I'm trying to help your grandparents. I'm trying to help people with this truth. And the truth of the matter is this. When the man of God takes a stand for something, it's not time to stand against him. It's time to stand with him and stand for the things of God and say, you know what? I think it'd be best if we stood with God, stood with the Bible, and if we got a preacher that's got guts enough to say something about it, let's get behind him and cheer him on, rather than sit there and try to rip him up after we get out in the car. Listen, it's high time that people in the house of God would start saying, no, we're not going to put up with all that sin. You can do it, but you're not going to do it here. Look at this. Are you hindered today? Could it be that you fail to share things with others that God told you to share? Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. You say, well, I gave money to a homeless person this week, and instead of giving money, I bought him a Hardee's bag and handed it to him. He took it right back in there and said, I'm not satisfied with this meal. I want my money back. He took your money that you bought that food with and walked right over there to the liquor store. Who told me that? Oh, the people at McDonald's, Hardee's, all of them tell me that. I always ask. When I see a bunch of drunks hanging around a place, I say, if I buy them food and give it to them, he's going to bring it right back and get the money back. If I was homeless, you know what I'd do? If somebody handed me something with a bite out of it, I'd eat it. Maybe you need to take a bite out of that cheeseburger and hand it to him and say, here, you can have the rest of it. I'm just saying. But look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Are you hindered because you fail to share with others? He says, let him, verse 6, that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Has God told you to go out and take the word of God to somebody or to somebody here and try to encourage somebody with the word of God and give them the scripture and communicate good things to them? But you're hindered, and here's why. Look at verse 10. He said about communicating unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, you might be discouraged today and you might be hindered because you failed to do that with somebody and you started casting your pearls before swine and all you do is argue about the Bible with somebody. Listen. There are people out there in your jobs that you have to deal with on a daily basis, and all they want to do is argue the Bible with you. You say, well, what subject? Any of them. And they'll claim they're taking the opposite side to test your belief. I don't believe that. I think they do that because they got a bad spirit about them, and they want to argue. Well, if we talk about something, they're going to bring up some example of somebody. For instance, if you say you're supposed to tithe, the Bible says it right here. They say, well, I don't want to do that because I heard Jim Baker had gold doorknobs and air conditioning in his doghouse. Really? What if I told you today that Jim Baker is not the standard by which you judge somebody? Well, I know the Bible says this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's okay because I saw Jimmy Swaggart committed adultery. What if I told you today Jimmy Swaggart was not the standard by which you judge people? And you self-righteous hypocrite, what if I told you you're not the standard either? See, let me share something with you today that'll make an impact on your life as I minister to you in word. That's what the liberal preacher said today. Here's how it works. I am not your God. You are not the standard. I am not the standard by which all people live by. I found that word one day, and it's not in the Bible, but the root word is. You ready for the word? Human. Root word? Man. In the Bible. He ain't the good one. He ain't never the good one. Genesis chapter 3. Man made the decision not to say nothing. Let his wife fall into sin, then he willingly done it. Not a good man. Noah, chosen to be the father of the human race when God decided to wipe out everybody, was drunk by the end of chapter 9. Not a good man. Abraham called out of Ur of the Chaldees, God's going to bless his seed. And he lies. Not a good man. And on down it goes. And we keep finding out something. Man is a failure with a capital F. But when man is saved by the grace of God, if he gets hindered, it could be because he tried to cast pearls before swine And let me define that for you. If you ever get near a hog pen, and you go out there and look at him and say, I love you, he's going to look at you. And then he's going to go use the bathroom and waller in it. And then he's going to come back up there. And you're going to tell him, that's not sanitary. And I love you and I'm trying to prevent you from getting disease. And he's going to stick his face in a bucket of throwaway food that you wouldn't even touch, much less eat, and eat that while you're talking. And you're going to tell him, I want to give you a little Bible verse to help you out there today, Piggy. You know what he's going to do? He's going to look you in your God-given eyeballs, use the bathroom while you're watching him, and he don't care. You know why Jesus said, neither cast you pearls before swine? Because you're going to find out one day, oh, them people you talk to, lost, they may not use the bathroom in front of you. They may not get down on the floor and waller in something. They may not eat something that you wouldn't eat. But while you're talking to them about Jesus, they'll drink beer, smoke dope, blow cigarette smoke in your face, cigar smoke, and they'll think you're an idiot. That's what they'll do to you. See, I think that the Bible clearly teaches here in chapter 6, verse 10, that when you get something from God, don't go waste it on the world. Give it to somebody that needs it, that's of the household of faith. There's a fine line in that, and I'm well aware of it, but I know this much. If we're going to walk with God and not be hindered, let's encourage other Christians along and try to help them out while we got time. Because it could be that instead of helping the household of faith, we're just feeding a bunch of pigs. You ever seen that commercial they used to run on TV all the time where they got this pig walking around, and every time these people do something stupid, that pig will and do that. And they'll take their cash out and do this. You know what people are doing now? God's blessed them with things. They're feeding the pig. That's all they're doing. They're feeding the pig. Hey, why don't you feed the sheep? Why don't you feed the sheep and help the sheep out? I mean, the sheep need some help. Most Christians nowadays are so hindered because they won't help each other. They're too busy trying to worry about something that's not even real. When's the last time you sent money to Sally Struthers in Africa where she's going, oh, you need to feed these starving children? Honey, listen, she's got fat and rich off your money. You support a missionary over there teaching them people the gospel, because if they ever get full of the Holy Ghost to get saved, God saves the people, and they get full of the Holy Ghost and somebody teaches them the Bible, they're going to learn something. Hey, it's time to learn how to fish. Hey, it's time to learn how to use that hoe and dig them rows out there and plant corn. And we can take that corn and make popcorn and eat on it. It's hot enough over there. They probably wouldn't even use much firewood as you would. Look over at Galatians chapter 1. I'll show you one more thing. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Are you hindered? Are you hindered? Could it simply be you're lost? See, a lot of people that are lost, they get hindered in the Christian walk because they don't have Christ. And it's hard to live for Jesus if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And by saying that, he says this, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. God never saved a soul that they'd have more of this evil world about them. For instance, God didn't save you, Christian, so you'd get out. He saved you so you'd get in. Let me ask you something. Is there anything wrong with carrying this book in this church? If there's nothing wrong with it, why don't you carry one? Why don't you be a big old Christian and start carrying you a Bible? Some of the one I got is the size of a family Bible. That's fine, bring it. Only one I got is a NIV. Well, bring it and I'll give you a King James. But listen, I see so many come to church without a Bible. I know where we got the practice from. We got it from lost people. Because lost people hate the Bible. They get hindered because they haven't been delivered out of this present evil world. And they still want to come to church and be cool, man. Are you cool? We used to watch the Fonz. Y'all remember the Fonz? Fonz was cool. Leather jacket. He walked around with his thumbs in his jeans like he was cool, man. He didn't go buy a coat. He'd hit the thing and steal one. Fonz was cool. Fonz was so cool, he had a bunch of girlfriends. He was cool. But you know what he wasn't? He wasn't real. And when people come to the house of God, and they can't get the chains of this world off of them. They're chained down to things. They'd love to tell you they'd quit them anytime they want, but they can't quit them. You know why? They've never been delivered out of them. The convicts that sat under the county jail, I watched them arrest somebody one night. I was in the police car with a guy, talking fella. He had to arrest this man. And from the time he got him on the side of that street and put them cuffs on him, that man was never free again. They drive you down there now, sophisticated. They say, 10-something-something-something-something, we got whatever they call the convict back there now. We it's not politically correct to call them a convict, they, whatever they are. Our inmate or whatever they got it, what do they call him? And they open this big old metal door. Suspect, there you go, that's the word I'm looking for. He ain't even committed no crimes, he's just suspect of it. They pull up in that thing and they close the door down behind him. They go around there and they get him out. They take him in. And as soon as that cop can get him in there, he takes the jailer's handcuffs and puts them on, takes his own handcuffs back in the same pocket. And he says, all right, he's all yours. Here's the report, what he did. And then that jailer will sit there and say, I want you to stand over here. He's over here, he's all chained up. Turn this way, and they take his picture. And they turn this way and take his picture. They say, all right, come over here to our fingerprint machine and get all his fingerprints on there. And he's locked up. He's in a little place there. And then they put him in another little place, a little holding cell. And they stick him in there. All right, now we take your handcuffs off. He's out of the handcuffs. Whew. Glad I'm free. You're not free. You're still in jail. Ah, but look at these nice surroundings. I've got four walls, a bed, and a toilet. How could it be better? Oh, I know. You're living in the lap of luxury, aren't you? Free at last. And then when they get a place open out there, they say, all right, come with me. And they take you out there and they put you in what they call the general population of that thing. And you're out there and you're in the jail now. There you are. But you're not free. You know what you are? You're caught. You're awaiting conviction. And you ain't going nowhere. And while you're there, you may get a visit every once in a while from somebody you know. They may actually call your name one day, say, convict number 321456, we need you down here to visitation. You go down there and you get to look through a glass wall about this thick and talk to somebody. And while you're there, you may be there and they may say, we're going to put some money in your account so you can buy you a Snicker bar. And the lunch cart comes around and you say, I don't want that awful bologna sandwich today. I want a Snicker. I'm buying me a Snicker bar. But you're not free. The NBA championship's on. Woo, there's LeBron. Can't take the heat. And gets out of the game because there's no air conditioning in the building in game one. Let me tell you something. I have never in my life seen a bigger wimp in my life that won't play basketball without air conditioning. I'll take half his contract and go play the rest of the game. I tell you what, I'll even do that. I'll just take his earnings from that day and play the game. Listen, you can turn the heater on fight for all I care. I don't care. But there you are. You got your little TV in there and you're getting to watch TV. And it looks like a big screen if you hold it right here. Yeah, you got to see the Budweiser girls. Yeah, you got to see the ball game. But you're not free. It could be that you hit her today because you lost. You're fake. You're phony. You're lost. You're undone. And no matter how you try to tell yourself you're out of that jail, you're still in the devil's jailhouse. He's still got you. You're still chained down. You say, well, I can quit any time I like. Really? I'd like for you to go up today to Sheriff Mueller and just walk in the jail and say, I want to try an experiment. I want you to lock me up 24 hours, and I'm going to try everything I can to get out of here. You ain't getting out. Because you're going to think, I remember that program about breaking out of jail. I'm going to get out. You ain't getting out. That's TV. That's TV. Seen a recent picture of Charles Manson lately? Listen, it ain't like it is on TV. You locked up, you're away from a public sight, you're not free. And a person that claims they're a Christian and they can't get this world off of them and they get deeper in this world, there's a problem. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not true for you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You can't quote that. You know why? Because you ain't took the time to learn it. Because it don't matter to you. You're a hypocrite if you sing victory in Jesus because you ain't got victory. You're lost. You may sing the songs of Zion and may quote the scriptures and may know all that. But if you can't beat the very sin that's besetting you and you can't get out of it and it gets more into you and the more you pull this way than there's something else and the more you pull this way than something else, and listen, you hate me right now. You know why? Because I'm telling you the truth. You're hindered because you don't have the master. Whatever's hindering you today, there's an altar in this place. Why don't you come find out what the problem is? If you need my help, I'll help you. There's a lot of folks today, they stay hindered. Listen, it could be their loss. It could be they're mad at me. It could be anything. But I want you to read verse 7 again of chapter 5. Look at it one more time. Verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Could it be the who is you? Could it be you done that to you? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Father.